Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
Matthew chapter 6. Now, listen. We're in the middle of this series. We started this series last week. The heart matters. Everybody say the heart matters. Treasures look different to different people. You may look at something. They always say that one man's junk is another man's treasure, right? One man's junk is another man's treasure. That's okay. Treasures look different to everybody. My daughter. My daughter, when she was a child, she was one of the sweetest things. I don't know what happened when she grew up, but no, I'm kidding. But Shelby was one of the sweetest kids growing up. Everywhere her eyes landed, she looked at the world with wonder. I mean, she was astounded by everything. If she saw an ant on the sidewalk, "Mama, come look at this. Look at this. Look at this ant." If she saw some leaves falling from the, she'd get out there and she would dance. And I loved watching her around 4th of July and New Year's. We would get sparklers because we didn't trust her with anything that was open flames. And the thing is, we would get her sparklers and she would dance around and just spin around. And she was just in one. She thought sparklers were the best thing in the world. Listen, that's awesome to me because I only had to spend like 99 cents. And she was happy. Nowadays, I spend 99 cents on something. They look at me and say, "Where's the rest of it?" But everywhere she went, she looked at the world with wonder. There was only one problem with her, though. She collected everything. You go into her room, and there's these little rocks on her dresser. And we're going, "What is she doing?" We start taking them down. "I'm collecting those." Okay. We walk over to the TV. There's leaves spread out across the TV stand. "Oh, no." And we're starting, "Baby, how'd you get leaves in?" I'm collecting those. We look around and there's just buttons. Buttons. You look around and you're like, "Baby, where'd you get all these buttons?" "I collect them." Some things never change. She still collects a few things. Her tastes have changed now. Now she's collecting like pop vinyls, or she has been for a while. I don't know if she still is, because I'll be honest with you, I can't keep up with everything that she collects. Any of y'all's kids ever did that? They just sort of collected everything. It was all. I got to admit something though. She gets it rightly because I was the same way. When I was a kid, I collected everything. Any of y'all remember the old die-cast, the metal die-cast Transformers toys? Man, all right, now I'm showing my nerd is showing, okay? I collected those suckers, and I loved them, man. They were the most awesome things in the world. Nobody's going, "Dude, he's our pastor." Yes, deal with it. But I collected those. I collected knives. I collected all kinds of stuff. And the thing is, I would hold on to stuff. There was a particular tree in my backyard, okay? A particular tree. It was set off away from the other trees, and it was one of those that the limbs were low enough. It was a pine tree. It was low enough that I could grab a hold of it, and I would climb up the tree. Now, I know those of you that know me now know that I do not like heights. I don't know why I did this as a kid, but heights did not bother me as a kid. The older I got, either the smarter I got or the more scared I got. I don't know what the deal was. But I would climb to the very top of that tree with whatever I found that I knew my parents didn't want me to collect. And I would deposit it in limbs of the trees. So right now, I'm talking about stupid stuff. Bottle caps. Action figures. An empty bottle. I just wanted to see if it would stay there, I guess. I don't know what the deal was. But I would collect all this stuff. Right now, if you go to that tree, there is probably bark that has grown over all the stuff that I left at the top of that tree. And I'm talking about I would go so far up that when the wind blew, I would be doing this. That's probably why I'm afraid of heights now. But as we get older and as we grow in our life, treasures look very differently now. Now we have boxes full of stuff in our attics and in our basements. that we haven't seen in probably about 5 or 6 years, or some of us 10 to 15 years. And we say, oh, I can't get rid of these things. They're precious. They're valuable to me. Some of y'all probably still have that collection of Columbia House tapes that you got. The first one for 99 cents and the rest of them for whatever it was. And you've got the entire year of 1987 sitting there where every now and then you look up, or it's put up someplace, and if you wanted to, you could go up there and pull out Bon Jovi, whoa, living on a prayer, and you would just rock out. Pull out you some Def Leppard with some Hysteria and all of that kind of stuff. Yeah, I'm going way back now. Y'all hang with me. But you probably still have that somewhere around your house, and you just can't get rid of it. That's an entire set. Baseball cards, whatever. As we get older, our tastes and our treasures change a lot of times, though. What we value begins to look a little bit differently. Usually gets a lot more expensive. Before, for birthdays, I could buy my kids a little bitty toy that cost me about $5, and they played with a box. Now I buy them a gift that's $500. They're going, what else do I get? Come on now. Are y'all with me? As we get older, our tastes change. You can always tell the value of something by how intensely you pursue it. I'm tapping my ring on the side of this pulpit, and I've used this illustration for probably 20 years. There are certain things that if I drop, I may or may not bend over to pick it up, especially nowadays, because I may not get back up. But I guarantee you, if this ring fell off my hand, which it won't because my hands are too fat, but if this ring fell off my hand and went rolling around and ended up somewhere that I did not know where it was, you know what I would do? The world would stop until I found this ring because of how valuable it is to me. What you value, you chase after. What you value, you seek. What you value, you make sure you take care of. In our The Heart Matters series, we're looking into all things about the heart. Everybody say the heart. Last week, we looked at the prayer of a godly heart. How if we truly are men and women of God's own heart, that we will eventually have to go beyond the norms of Christianity and checking boxes. We can't just show up at church and go, okay, I've done my duty. I've read my Bible. I've done my duty. I've prayed today. I've done my duty. I said hey to somebody that I didn't like. I've done my duty. All those things. If we are truly men and women of God, we're going to have to go beyond those boxes. We have to say to God, I got to slow down. We have to say to God, search me. Search my heart. Take a flashlight to my life and point out things that should not be there. That is the prayer of a godly heart. It's not making excuses for how we are, but it's taking a broom and a dustpan into a dark room, the dark corners of our heart, and sweeping it up a little bit at a time, saying, okay, God, I understand this has got to go. That's the prayer of a godly heart. The things that are taking up space where God should be seated. Our sins, our habits, our attitudes, our personalities. Well, that's just my personality, Pastor Aaron. I'm an angry person, or I have this certain sin in my life that I am just naturally drawn to, and it's just in my DNA. No, you make a choice to chase after it because of what you value. When you chase after those things, you value your flesh more than you do your spirit. Are you with me? It's getting deep in here already. I don't have a whole lot of more chuckles, okay? So y'all just better hang on. This week is more about what we value, because what we value is what our heart chases after. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, if you're not there, it's Matthew chapter 6. That whole sermon is really about challenging what people valued in their life. The Beatitudes, which for years I said that word wrong. I was like, the Beatitudes. But the Beatitudes We're all about how we are to be salt and light and value those around us. How the law was important, but how the relationship with the Father has more value than the law. It was all about how getting your way is not as important, and your physical pleasure should not be your driving force and value of your life. That's what Jesus was talking about through this entire chapter, through this entire Sermon on the Mount. He's got thousands or hundreds or thousands, I don't know how many people were there, sitting around him at his very first sermon. And they're all standing there listening to him as he is speaking from the top of this hill. Natural acoustics carried all of his words all the way down to all of these people. And he's basically telling them, what are you valuing in your life? What do you value? He teaches us that loving our enemies is of value. Giving to the needy is of value. Prayer and time with God is of value. Your spiritual needs are of value over your physical needs. He even deals, and this is a sore subject sometimes, he even deals with the ugly word, money. He deals with money and gets on us, which is where I'm going to land today. And everybody's going, what? We're going to talk about money. No, we're not going to talk just about money. We're going to talk about what you value. Because you can have money and not value money. See, I'm not doing this today because I'm not teaching on money, but I'm teaching you today about what you treasure in your heart you will chase. The treasures of the heart will always determine the path of our heart and of our soul. The treasures of the heart will always determine our path of our soul. Matthew 6, 19 through 21 says this. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let me sum up that last phrase. What you value, your heart will chase. It's a very simple verse. Before I go on, let me pray. Father God, let my words be few, your words be powerful, and let us value your word today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. It's a very simple verse that we as a church and as a community of believers still haven't quite gotten right yet. You've got some people that take that verse to the extreme, and they think that if you're a Christian, you got to have a vow of poverty. You can't have nice cars. You can't have nice houses. You can't have a nice boat. You can't have nice things. You are supposed to struggle in your life. That is the extreme side of things. There's some people that believe that if you're a man of God, you shouldn't walk around in expensive clothes or expensive shoes and all that, or a woman of God. Let me just say, a man or a woman of God. They think that you shouldn't have all this kind of stuff. And I understand that we need to be good stewards of what God has given us. God's word tells us to give him 10%, right? Give a tithe unto the Lord. All right, we're supposed to give 10%. What he's asking for is 10% so that his kingdom can be funded to go out into the kingdom, into the world, so that we can tell people about Jesus. He says, give me 10%, you keep the 90 and wisely manage it. That's all God asks us to do. Now, if I give God his 10% and then I go out and blow all of my money on something that is stupid that I really don't need, that is not wisely managing what I've got. Are you with me? But usually when I blow my money or when I blow my time or when I blow my energy or my efforts on something that is not fruitful, it's because I wanted to do it, not because he wanted me to do it. It's because I was chasing after what I wanted. Are you with me? Is this making sense today? By the end of this, I'm hoping I still have a job. But listen, Others are on the other side. They say, God bless me so I can afford all these extravagant things. No. Again, we are a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. One of the biggest inhibitors, one of the biggest things that will stifle the blessings of God in our life is debt, because it means that we can't give to other people. Amy and I used to be deep in debt. And God got, and we wanted to bless, and we wanted to do, and we wanted to, I'm not going to tell you how we got there, because we were stupid, because we chased after things that we wanted. But we got to the point where we said, okay, God, here, and we did right by God, and we gave him what was his, and we started wisely managing the rest. We got out of that debt, and now we are able to support missionaries all across this world personally. This is beyond what the church does. We do it personally because I want to make sure that I wisely manage my money, and I sow seed into the kingdom of God. Are you with me? I'm getting off subject here. I'm not here to judge how you spend your money or tell you what's right to buy and what's wrong to buy. That's called shepherding. I'm not going to sit there and tell you, you got to buy this brand of toilet paper. You got to make sure these things are on sale. You got to do this. You got to do that. I'm not here to tell you that. I'm not even here, and y'all better record this so that y'all can play it back for me. I'm not even here to tell you, you need to give the church more money. Because you know what? The Bible says every person should give what the Lord has laid on their heart to give, right? Not under compulsion. So I'm not here to crack a whip and say, you need to give me more money so I can go buy more stuff. There's that country guy coming out again. Okay. I'm not, everybody's going to be going, there's another country boy. Checking off the boxes. I'm not here to tell you that. What I am here to tell you is that although Jesus used wealth as an example in this verse, it was not limited to how much money you've got. Or to just money in general. It wasn't about what you possess. It was about what possesses you. Because right now there are people in this room that you don't possess your things. They possess you. They manage your time because they demand more. Things get cut out so that you can make sure that those things are taken care of. I'm not here to tell you that you need to give the church more money. I'm not here to tell you that you're spending things on the wrong things. But I'm here to tell you that we need to make sure that our possessions don't possess us. What we treasure in our heart will control our life. What we cherish, we chase. Jesus saw this, saw that this was an important, and that gives us a warning. And he gives us a warning about what we treasure in our heart. First thing he tells us is don't treasure the temporary. Don't treasure the temporary. As Jesus spoke to those people sitting on the side of that mountain, he was giving them more than an economics lesson. He was giving them more of spending do's and don'ts. He was not the Dave Ramsey of the day. What he was doing is he was sharing with them, do not ascribe value to something that is not going to last. Matthew 6:19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. He was not condemning people for wealth, but was encouraging them not to let their wealth be the deciding factor of their life that they chase after, because wealth will never be enough. What we have is never enough. I remember as a kid, I got a little money in my pocket. And I was like, dude, this is awesome. And what did I do? I went and spent it, and I didn't have any. So I said, well, I need more. It's always more. Our hearts were never meant to carry temporal treasures that would pass away. Your heart, your spiritual heart, the deep-seated place where your emotions and that controls your life, your heart was never meant to carry temporary things. That's why we warned our kids when they were young, listen, when you love somebody, make sure you love them with everything that you got. And you're going to marry, if you're going to marry somebody, you better give them everything that you are, because you're not supposed to give them your heart temporarily. What you put in your heart, you treasure. Listen, I went off a subject there. You and I were created more precious than that. We were given a greater purpose than carrying the temporary treasures. When we have value the worldly over, when we value the worldly over the godly, the temporal over the eternal, we are filling our hearts, our most secure and secret place that is supposed to be the house for the most valuable things in the universe. We are filling it with temporary things that don't belong there. Are you with me? Y'all got awful quiet in this Pentecostal church there for a minute. We're giving our life over to something that will not last. When money is what we value, we spend our lives trying to accumulate more and more. It will never be enough. There's a study done, and now this is a study a good while ago. It was 1992. It was the latest study I could find on this. But it was a study in 1992 when people were asked, how much money would you need in order to have, for you to consider yourself to have the American dream? How much money would you need to make? Now, granted, this was 30 years ago. But I want you to listen to these numbers. Those people that were making $25,000 a year. $25,000, which there may be some of us in this room that are that way. But $25,000, those that were making $25,000 a year, when they answered that question, they said, you know, in order for me to achieve the American dream, I need to make approximately, and they named $54,000. They said, I would need to make $54,000 in order for me to say that I've achieved the American dream. They also asked people that were making $100,000. They said, how much money would you need in order to consider yourself to have achieved the American dream? $100,000. Now, that's a decent amount of money even today. That's a pretty decent amount of money. They said, in order for me to achieve the American dream, I would need to make at least $198,000. That just goes to show you, no matter how much money you make, more is always better. Your heart will always, you will always chase after more. I'm not going to lie. I put away money. And it's not wrong to make money in order to support your family and to do all that kind of stuff. But when it becomes your sole focus that you forget everything else and you start treasuring that money more than you do your family, you start treasuring that money and that job more than you do people's souls, when you start treasuring people, when you start putting people down here and money up here, and you're, I can't help because, you know what, they need to get a job. They need to take care of this. They do it themselves. I understand. We can't help. We can't dole out money to every single person. But when God looks at you and says, you need to bless that person, we need to be able to look and say, God, thank you so much. We need to do more than just say, oh, thank you so much for choosing me. But I like the amount of money that I've got in the bank right here. Are you with me? It has been proven that for those that value wealth and money and possessions more than anything else, they will never be satisfied. It's the same with popularity. It's the same with fame. It's the same with physical pleasure. Even authority and knowledge. Those that have authority are always seeking more authority if that's what they value. The same all the way across the board. When that is all you value, that is what your heart will chase after. Stop valuing the temporal. We begin to sacrifice everything we have for those things that we value. We sacrifice our family for our job because we want the money. We sacrifice our relationships for popularity with the right people in order to climb the right ladder. We sacrifice true love and peace in order to gain a few moments of pleasure that will satisfy us in the moment. Jesus warns us about how temporal things are. Still in verse 19, it says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. We deal with it. Listen, when we deal with what the world offers us, it doesn't take much for it to be destroyed. Think of the three things that Jesus said that destroy what we're chasing after. A moth, something very small, benign, cannot hurt us physically, but it can take our most prized possessions from us. What's the small things in your life that you're allowing to come in and steal what you value? Are you with me? Rust is the same way. Those of you that are car guys, any car guys in the house, you like cars, you pay attention, you get a little spot of rust on that car. What do you you better do something about it, especially if it's a classic car. What do you got to do? You got to get that rust off. You got to sand it down. You got to buff it out. You got to get all that rust off of it. And then you've got to seal it and you got to paint it and you got to get it off. Why? Because if you leave the rust alone, it will take a prized possession from you. That's how easy it is for the little things to steal what the world thinks we should value. The little things. See, we're worried about the big things that get into our lives. But we allow the little cracks and the little moths and the little pieces of rust to come in and eat away at what we value in this earth. Why not trade what we value for something that can't be corrupted? Are you with me? I'm getting ahead of myself. I need to go back. This is one of those you got to think about, y'all. The finest things. See, even when you deal with inferior treasure, it doesn't take much to lose it. Even the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he will steal your worldly stuff too. The finest things in the world that the world has to offer us will fade into nothing because they are not built to last. We spend so much time trying to protect what we have in this world only to watch it slip through our fingers. In ancient times, if you go back, anybody remember King Tut? All the Egyptian rulers and all of those that were popular back then. Whenever they died, the custom was this. The custom was that they were taken and they were put into a tomb. And inside of that tomb, they would take and they would put gold. They would put jewels. They would put all of the valuable things that this ruler thought was important so that he could take it and use it on the other side of death. There were even cases where they would take concubines and servants and wall them up inside of these tombs alive so that he would have people that would take care of him on the other side of death. But can I tell you something? The moment that they opened those tombs, not one gold piece was missing. Not one jewel was gone. The servants lay dead around the tomb. They didn't take one thing with him. He didn't take one thing with him. They were all left there because they were temporal. He could not take the temporal into the eternal. We as Christians cannot try to take our temporal into the eternal. The money that we make, the popularity that we have, the job that we have, the favor that we have with people, none of that we seek in the world is ever going to transfer over into the supernatural. Listen. Saying all these things that you're chasing. See, what we need to do is we need to treasure the eternal. That was the next thing that Jesus said. We need to treasure the eternal. Jesus switches gears and he tells them, listen, don't lay up treasures that are going to fall away and that are going to rust away and that are going to be eaten alive and they're going to be stolen from you. But lay up something that is worth something. Lay up the eternal. Matthew 6:20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. What he's saying is all these things you're chasing after, the things you search for, mean nothing. Paul said it a great way over in Philippians. He said, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. His value was not on his works. His value was not on his things. His value was not on his education. What his value was on was he valued knowing who Jesus was and what he did for him. That's what he valued more than anything else. For his sake, this is the rest of that verse. For his sake, I have suffered loss of all things and count them as rubbish. We all know that you probably, if you've been in church 5 minutes, you've probably heard a pastor say that word stands for dung. So just think about that the next time that you're chasing after something that's not of God. You're chasing after dung. You're chasing after trash instead of the eternal. But I count them all as rubbish in order that I may gain eternal Christ. The treasure in our heart should be the eternal things of God, the things that cannot be corrupted, the love that he has for us, that no one can take away. That's a treasure. You know what else is a treasure? The joy that we have that is not controlled by external circumstances. Temporary things will bring you temporary happiness. Eternal things will bring you eternal joy. There's a difference between happiness and joy. I've said it so many times in this room. Happiness is controlled by external circumstances. You're real happy when you deposit that check, but then you're really sad when you got to pay for those repairs. You're real happy when you get a new shirt, but you're real sad when all of a sudden that shirt is old and it's got picks in it and you can't wear it anymore. You're real happy when you and your spouse love each other, but then when you get into a fight, there are certain times where you get really sad. Come on. Marriage isn't always butterflies, rainbows, and Skittles, but joy is found in Christ with your spouse. See, if you're looking for your happily ever after, it's not going to happen. That sounds very harsh and very, very ugly. But if you're searching for a person, a temporal person whose attitude changes, whose life changes, whose habits change, whose appearance changes. Now listen, I know I still look good, but no, I'm kidding. I've changed a lot since I was a young man. But my wife still loves me. Because she's not searching for happiness. We find joy in one another. We don't let external circumstances control our relationship. We don't need to let external circumstances control our relationship with Christ. Whether you are on top of the mountain, sitting on a mountain of money, or a mountain of fame, or a mountain of popularity, or you've got whatever that you want in your life, or whether you're down in the valley, valley of dry bones, you can still find joy. Not happiness, joy. Because the Bible says that there comes a spring of living water within us when we have our heart right, when we value the right things. Listen, the joy that we have is not controlled by external circumstances. The peace that passes all understanding, no matter what the circumstance, is something that is to be treasured. The purpose in our heart and the relationship with the untouchable, incorruptible, infallible God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, what we have can never be taken from us. That is our treasure. He loves us with an everlasting love. That is our treasure. He has given us a promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us. That is our treasure. He has given us a spring of living water and a fountain of peace that bubbles up from within us. That is our treasure. That which you give away, and listen, he mentions where thieves cannot steal. And I'm getting real close, I promise you. I've already called them up. They're here. He says where thieves cannot steal. What I love about this, and this is not a special revelation or anything like that, and I don't know why it came to my mind, but what I love about the treasure that we have is that the treasure we have is supposed to be given away. And when you're supposed to give something away, it can't be stolen from you. The love of Christ is something that we treasure in our heart, but I'll take heaping handfuls of it and hand it out to people. You ain't got to come steal it, because as soon as I dip my hand into that love and hand it out to somebody, you know what God does? Sprinkle a little. He's like playing he's like playing one of those chefs. There, here we go. Yeah. I'll give you a little bit more. And just because you're so willing to give it away, I'm going to give you a little bit extra. Your will, your treasure never runs dry, because it can't be stolen when it's supposed to be given away. Again, I don't know if that bears witness with anybody in the room, but it does with me. There's a never-ending supply that cannot be taken from us. If you would stand with me today as we dismiss. The treasures of our heart determine the path of our heart. Our heart is destined to lead us. Jesus said this in our text, verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Your heart always chases after what you value most. If you value this flesh, you're going to chase the things of the flesh. If you value your relationship with God, you'll chase after God. If you value things, you're going to chase after things. And your life will revolve around those things. Proverbs 4:23, says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." What that means is your heart is the control box for your life. Be careful what you put in it. Your heart will always draw you to what's important to you. What should be in the treasure of your heart today? Answer simply this in verse 33 of Matthew 6. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Don't chase and long for temporary things that can be destroyed or taken from you. Instead, value the things of God. Seek his kingdom, deposit his treasures in your heart, and let your heart chase after him. Can we just lift our hands and praise him for a minute? God, today, let us treasure you. Let us treasure you. You made us for more than chasing after the things of this world. You made us for more than chasing after money, fame, popularity, sex, the next high. You made us for more than that. You made us for more than just knowledge. You made us to carry. You made us as imago Dei, image bearers of God. Let us treasure your image in our life. Let us treasure who you are in our heart, so that we might chase after you.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.